You are listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. I thank you for joining me here today on this Friday. Thank God it is Friday. Praise God. Thanks for spending 30 minutes of your Friday with me. Let's do this Friday upright by spending the time here in the Word of God. We're in the book of Revelation here, and for the most part on WGOD. I've been down for the count, as so many of you have lately, with this cold, which has taken my voice, and we're going to try to get through this here today. So you've heard some sermon from last year with the Sermon on the Mount. We might get into some more of that here coming up next week. You heard my Sunday sermon. You heard that broken up in two parts from last Sunday. Moses walks to his own funeral, and I hope you guys enjoyed that message. That was Wednesday and Thursday. Learned a lot from that, right? As James said, let not many of us become teachers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. God is going to treat teachers different than he does everyone else. Moses is the prime example for just one slip-up of his anger getting the best of him, cost him entering the promised land, at least the earthly promised land. So thank God sin won't keep us out of the heavenly promised land. Otherwise, who would be able to get in? Nobody. Because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God treats the leaders different than he does everybody else. Now let's get back in here through the book of Revelation. I left my notes at home, and so let's just read this chapter here. We're going to start looking at these trumpet judgments. First of all, prior to that, I invite you guys to church this weekend. This Sunday, my sermon is the parable of the talents. We're in Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. We're going to see that the Lord, he's going to compare. Well, he even says the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling on a far country, and he's gone away for a long time. And before he went away, he entrusted his servants with what the Bible calls talents. It's a perfect word, double meaning, right? 75 pounds was a talent if you want to use it for weight. And talent also is, we are talented. He's given us talents, and we need to serve him with those talents, because the day is coming when he's going to, well, as the Bible says, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one will give an account for the things done in their body, whether good or bad. That's not for your salvation. This is for what you have done with what the Lord's given you. That's the sermon here this weekend, and it had catastrophic results for the one who did nothing. That's where we'll be this Sunday morning at 10:30. You are invited. If you want to hear that message, why don't you guys come by and visit? Or else you can watch the video. It'll be on YouTube by Sunday afternoon by going to the Island Community Church YouTube page. You can subscribe to that. These videos will show up right there in your feed by Sunday afternoon. That's where we're going to be. Now, Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. Normally, we meet Wednesdays. We're off for the month of September. I'll be back in the book of Galatians first week in October. Normally, Wednesdays at 6, Sunday mornings at 10:30. We would love to see you this Sunday morning as we look at the parable of the talents. Here now, We're in the book of Revelation. Let's pick it up here in chapter 8. Now, when he had opened the seventh seal, now remember, John was upset. He was crying. He said he wept much because they couldn't find anyone worthy to open the scroll. The scroll is, let's call it, the title deed to planet Earth. The Lamb, now remember, again, understand the symbol and you'll understand the book. Understand the symbol and you'll understand the book. When we read, because this is a symbolic literature here, that something means something else. Something stands for something else. The Lamb in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, stands for what? Right. The Lamb of God expects you to know that. He expects you to know that from the other places where we see a lamb. He expects you to know that when you get to Genesis chapter 22, I think it is. Verse 16. When Abraham's about to sacrifice his son, and all of a sudden there was a lamb caught in the thicket by its horns. And instead of Abraham sacrificing his son, God provided a lamb. And he was sacrificed in his place. Now, he expects you to know that. To know the book of Revelation, you got to understand the book of Genesis. And you need to understand the book of Daniel. You need to understand the book of Exodus. You need to understand what a scapegoat is. Remember the scapegoat? Or else when the lamb was sacrificed and his blood was put on the door so that the death angel would pass over anyone who was protected by the blood, or the scapegoat, or John chapter 1, verse 29, where John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." That could either mean scapegoat, of laying hands on the scapegoat, transferring all of the sins of the people onto the Lamb, and then sending him off into the wilderness. It can mean that, and it can mean the lamb that was slain. Now, here in the book of Revelation, we read about the lamb. John saw the lamb that was slain. We know who this is. We understand the symbol, and then we understand the book. So when we see lamb in the book of Revelation, it's easy to understand. If you know the word, it's easy to understand. The Lamb represents Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When we get to read about dragon in chapter 12, we know who the dragon is. The dragon, and as a matter of fact, he will explain it in simple terms. When he calls the dragon that serpent of old, called the devil, Diabolos, that's Greek, or Satanus, that's Hebrew. He tells you point blank what that sign means and what what the dragon means. So when we get to chapter 13, and when John says, "Behold, I saw someone that had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon," what do you think that means? Right, it's a false Christian. And in chapter 19, verse 20, it's going to say as much at the doom of this person. The Bible, specifically chapter 19, verse 20, calls him the false prophet. Remember, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in what?" That's Matthew chapter 7. I think it's verse 15, isn't it? "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." So when we get to the dragon, we don't scratch our heads and say, "Oh man, I can't understand this book." Or chapter 13, someone with two horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. We're not going to scratch our heads and say, "Man, oh man, what does that mean?" We know what it means. It's a counterfeit Christian. That's why John says he deceives those. Actually, my translation, because most Greek manuscripts read this way, "He deceives my own people that dwell on the earth by the signs which were given to him to do." So we know what the lamb is. Now we're in chapter 8. In chapter 7, we saw the lamb loosing these seals that held this scroll closed. whenever these seals are loosed, then the tribulation starts. Then these angels are dispatched to do God's will here on the earth and to usher in the tribulation and to usher in the end of the age. There's 21 of these judgments. There's seven seals, and then the seventh seal brings on seven trumpets, which we are about to get to in a moment, and then the seven trumpets bring on seven bowl judgments. So that's what we have here. Well, we started that in chapter 7. This will go all the way through to like chapter 16 or 17 here, these 21 judgments. So for chapter 8 here, let's read this chapter, and then we'll read what the trumpet does, and then we'll read the end result of what this blowing in this trumpet, the damage that it does on the earth. Okay, I'm in the King James Version. I'm in Revelation chapter 8. Let's pick it up in verse 1. Now when he, that's Christ, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Imagine that, a half an hour of silence. This is a silence of awe and reverence before God, fearing what might be coming forth. You know, like the old saying we use, right? You could hear a pin drop. Silence in heaven for about half an hour. I'd imagine we're going to take that literal. Half an hour. He's writing this in terms that you and me can understand. There was silence in heaven for half an hour. They're waiting to see what's going to happen next. Verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and cast it to the earth. And there was voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Now, I don't know if this is just the prayers of those that are alive at this time, or if these are the prayers that you prayed here for your son or for your daughter today on the way to school or on your way home or whatever happened to you today, or your prayers when you were in church on Sunday. I don't know if it includes that or if this is these prayers of these people still alive here on the earth and they're waiting for the Lord's to return and there's hell on earth here going on. I don't know. But this I know, and that is your prayers are cherished by God. Look at what he does with your prayers. Look at this again. There was this golden censer with incense, and he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints. You know, sometimes you might feel like your prayers just don't ever get past the ceiling. Let me encourage you today. God hears your prayers. The prayers that we pray in the name of Jesus, I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, that God hears your prayers. Just hang in there. Wait on the Lord. Sometimes we don't get the answer when we want to. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is wait just a little while. Remember in chapter 6, we saw that. We saw people who were killed on account of the word of God, and they also were waiting for the answer to their prayers, and they were in heaven, and they were still praying, and they were told to chill a little while, which wait a little while. Here's these nice new robes for you to wear, and they were told to just patiently wait until the others that were going to be killed the same way that they were. So, but know and understand, he hears your prayers. those that wait on the Lord, Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 40, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. David writes in Psalm 27, says it twice, wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, verse 6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Then the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees was burned up, and all of the green grass was burned up. So there's the first. The first trumpet, we see great hail and fire and blood. You know, we look at hail, and I encourage you to look up Job chapter 38, verse 22. When God, rapid fire, demanded of Moses to tell him if he was around when God created everything. He said, who was this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Then he asked, he said a peculiar thing to Job, which makes sense now that I read it here. He said to Job, have you seen the treasury of hail that I have reserved for the day of judgment and trial? You know, I like to picture it as up in heaven. You know, you got all these rooms up in heaven. You know, you got one room that says broom closet. And then on the next one, the sign on the door says hail. And it's been waiting since eternity past. Job, we believe, many of us believe, Job is the oldest book in the entire Bible. And God told him that this hail has been reserved. As a matter of fact, let me pull that up. Let me read that verse to you, Job chapter 38. In verse 22, God says to Job, he says, have you entered the treasury of snow? Or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? Now, I believe that's what he's referring to. All of this stuff is already orchestrated. It's already, angels are carrying out God's plan. The Son of God loosens the seals on this scroll, and once he does, all hell breaks loose. God's end times plan starts to be put into effect. Angels are the ones that carry out all this. As we see here, angels are given the trumpets. So at this first trumpet, we see great hail and fire and blood. And the damage from the first trumpet is a third of the trees are burned up and all the grass. Now, verse 8. And the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. Now, it's funny, there's a footnote here that says, look at Exodus chapter 7, verses 19 through 21. That's because with the 10 plagues of Egypt, many of these plagues are very similar here in the book of Revelation with the plagues that Moses had called down on Pharaoh. Again, it's Exodus chapter 7, verses 19 through 21. So if the second trumpet, a meteor crashes into the sea, and the damage from the second trumpet, a third of the sea turned to blood, a third of the sea creatures die, and a third of all of the ships are destroyed. Verse 10, and a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were as a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountain of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Wormwood, you know, isn't it funny, interesting, that in the Russian Bible, the Russian word for wormwood, believe it or not, is Chernobyl. Also, the waters of Mirabah, Exodus chapter 15, verse 25, were turned to wormwood, bitter. The Greek word for wormwood is the word absinthos, where that nasty, well, I think it's called absinthe. I think it's a medicine they give people. It's a very bitter-tasting medicine, absinthe. So the third trumpet damage, the waters are turned bitter, many die, and also we see this star, and for whatever reason, this thing has a name, and its name is absinthos, wormwood. Certainly, we're not talking Betelgeuse here or Alpha Centauri. We're not talking about a star when we read star here, because remember how small the Earth is in comparison. I mean, even our own sun. I mean, our own sun couldn't fall upon the Earth and only damage a third of the water. No, this is some kind of light, or again, it's figuratively speaking here, like when we get to chapter 9, and it says, I saw the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. So we're still trying to understand. Remember, understand the symbol, you'll understand the book. We're still trying to understand exactly what star means here when he says a star fall from heaven. Here we think it's just some kind of satellite, maybe a comet or a meteor or something like that. We're not talking Orion or Orion's belt or the Big Dipper or a Betelgeuse star or our own star. That's not what he means here. The Earth wouldn't survive. You can't put something 5 million times bigger than Earth on Earth and only damage some of the water. Verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. All right, fourth trumpet. A third of the sun struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, and a third of all light. And the fourth trumpet damage, a third of all the light is diminished. Reminds me of Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Let me turn there. The Lord Jesus writes there in Matthew 24, 29, he says, notice when too. Now, I believe this only happens once. There's only one time when the sun and the moon are going to be darkened and not give its light, as we read here. Now, immediately after the tribulation, this is Matthew 24, 29, Jesus speaking. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will wail, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send out his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and he will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, that sounds like the same thing to me. I don't know of any other times in the Bible where that is going to happen here, and the sun, the moon being darkened, and the Lord Jesus says it's after the tribulation, and he tells you that when this gathering together of the elect is going to be. Right there, read it in your Bible, after the tribulation, Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Then for this last verse here in this section here, verse 13, he says, and I beheld, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are about to sound. Anytime you see something three times like that, repeated three times. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Just like God said to Jeconiah, he said, well, speaking to the earth, he said, oh, earth, earth, earth. He said, you write this man down as childless. Remember the old king Jeconiah. Remember, J-E is the name of God, and A-H sometimes, Jeconiah or Isaiah. Or he took, God took his name out of Jeconiah's name. Jeconiah, God changed his name to Coniah. He took out Jehovah out of his name. And he says, you write this three times, he says it. Earth, earth, earth. Write this man down as childless. And now here, oh, that is, by the way, Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 29. Here it's woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. But I say to you, as God protected the Jews in Egypt at that time, he even said he was going to make a difference. He said, I will make a distinction between my people and their people. What God did before, he's going to do again. Far be it from you, Lord, to slay the righteous with the wicked. Far be it from you. God wouldn't slay the city of Sodom if there was 10 righteous people there, and he won't do the same as well, because he is the Lord and he changes not. Therefore, thank God, ye sons of Jacob, and you and I as well, are not consumed. We'll pick it up in chapter 9 as we're going through these trumpet judgments, verse by verse, through the book of Revelation. Love to see you guys at church this weekend. Once again, we're looking at the parable of the talents. We would love to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. We'll be back again, probably in the book of Revelation on Monday. And then you'll hear that sermon on Tuesday and Wednesday. You're listening to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station, WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
If you live in sin and disobedience, you will not enjoy assurance. There is a gulf between sin and peace, sin and joy, sin and assurance. When you sin, coming alongside of it is doubt about your spiritual condition. The Spirit of God withholds assurance.
Welcome to Grace to You with John MacArthur. I'm your host, Phil Johnson. If you Google the question, what makes someone a Christian?
you'll get a slew of results. Some say a true Christian goes to church regularly, or reads the Bible daily, or prays often and gives to the poor. The question is, why can you find so many different answers? Is the Bible somehow not clear? Actually, the Bible leaves no doubt as to